You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining me. A lot to cover. Chris Wray was at the hearings about what happened at the Capitol. And I saw it on the network news yesterday, and he was, you know, very shocked by what happened at the Capitol. I think everybody was. I think that's fair to say that it was a bad day for America. But then Ted Cruz asked him a lot about the protests and, you know, like Dr. Fauci and like all these other good Democrats, Christopher Wray got super quiet, didn't really, you know, wasn't as outspoken about that. But I guess what just happened, and I'm looking for the sound here, is Senator Johnson. You know that senator that Nancy Pelosi doesn't remember his name? Well, he asked an FBI official how many firearms were confiscated from suspects arrested at the Capitol riot. And the answer was, to my knowledge, none, the official answers. Now, these are some questions, and it's not excusing what happened at the Capitol, but they are questions we'd like to know. If Nancy Pelosi knew that there was going to be some unrest, and she still denied sending support to the Capitol, I would like to know that. I don't think that's out of bounds, that people want answers to that. And, you know, Byron York, a long time ago, he sent a FOIA to the Capitol Police where he said, you know, how many people were armed? What kind of weapons do they have? Did you guys ask for help? All these basic questions that it's going to be really hard to get answers to with all this stonewalling. But stonewalling is what the Democrats do best. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that Sheila Jackson Lee last night tweeted this out. Testimony today on the Hill evidences that in the Portland protests, 1,000 people were arrested. People protesting against the violence that was evidenced in the evidenced in the George Floyd murder. People wanting good things to happen in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. So now that to me is what happened to George Floyd was terrible. Again, just like the Capitol riots, there's no Republicans who didn't say that. Everybody came out and saw the video and said, that's awful. Get rid of that cop. Make sure he's arrested. You know, the whole nine yards. But that doesn't fit the narrative. But to say that the people protesting against the violence wanted good things to happen when they were burning buildings down is a bit of a stretch. She goes on, but I'm not going to bore you with the rantings of Sheila Jackson Lee. Now, back to today, and we've got more to get to. Dr. Seuss, I thought this story was going to be over by today, but Dr. Seuss is still in the news. You guys might have heard that he was canceled yesterday, and we will get to all that. There's more updates. Now Universal Studios is getting involved. But, and I do see you guys on the lines, but we are going to take a little bit of King Cuomo. He's talking right now. So let's take that live.
Behavior. It's about what we do. You take Western New York, 1.9. Western New York, for weeks, was a trouble area. And now it's 1.9. Because the community changed. The community adapted. The community heard. And this is a function of personal behavior. And that's why you're seeing these variances across the state. You look at New York City, the Bronx is down where it was, but 5%. It's double Manhattan. Staten Island, which was an aberration, is now more in line. But Staten Island...
I just have to say, Jared, and we'll go back to this if it gets good, which I'm sure if anyone asks him a decent question, he will go off the handles. But the arrogance in this guy's voice and mm-hmm. just the way he talks to people, he takes his time and he's lecturing everyone about things they do not understand as well as he does.
I'm going to talk slow so you can understand me.
I'm amazed by him. I really, really am.
Just coming out, giving a COVID update. Nothing going on. Nothing to see here. You know,
his popularity is plunging. By the way, I got a story here, and you know, he actually had really good popularity, despite the fact that he's been handling all of this stuff terribly as far as nursing homes are concerned. But it didn't really matter because, you know, a lot of these guys, as far as popularity goes, they're like Teflon in New York. I mean, Bill de Blasio is the most hated man in the country to a lot of people. He still manages to, you know, win mayor every single time he goes. So it says Cuomo popularity plunges amid sex harassment, nursing home scandals. Embattled Governor Andrew Cuomo's popularity is sinking amid sexual harassment and nursing home scandals. The three-term Democrat has only a 38% approval rating from registered voters, while 48% of respondents disapprove. It's pretty bad for him. In April, he had a 71% approval rating. Oh, how times have changed, dear friend. And Fredo, even Fredo is not getting good reviews. I think it was the Washington Post. They put up a couple columns today in other left-wing publications where they were criticizing Fredo's statement. You know how Fredo basically said, listen, my brother, I obviously know what's going on with my brother, and I obviously can't report on it. And the Washington Post did not think that was an adequate apology, which I just have to say, when they start going after you, you are done. You are done, done, done. I didn't think that this was going to affect Fredo as much as it was Andrew, but I could be wrong. And I just want to say to the people writing these things, these hit pieces, be very careful, because Fredo's been known to threaten to throw people down the stairs a time or two. And if you're a fat tire biker, be very careful. Dennis, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hi, Grace. I just heard some earth-shattering news about the illegals coming in this country.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I can't believe what I heard. The cartels get paid for bringing them in this country and for asylum, okay? And this is part of the reason why they had the big accident yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
But anyways, what happened was the illegals get $1,100 for coming up here, and their case is three years down the road. So they get the $1,100, and they can go live wherever they want and do whatever they want in the country while their case is coming up, okay? And because of the accident, they had 27 people in an SUV. They took the back seats out of the SUV. That's how they got 27 people in there.
Well, Dennis, there is a story today in Washington Examiner. It says smugglers push triple-digit groups of families and children across border, threatening the Biden agenda. Smuggling rings are increasing, pushing groups of 100 or more migrant children and families at a time over the southern border. And a lot of conservative critics, that would be me, that would be Jared, that would be Howie, blame this on relaxed enforcement. Border Patrol agents encountered 10 large groups totaling more than 1,000 people since the start of the government's fiscal year in October 2020, but saw more large groups arrive in February. Huh. The dramatic uptick in group size is different than the normal handful to a dozen migrants the smugglers historically ferry across river or land. And this is Dr. Victor Manieres Jr., a former senior Border Patrol agent. He said, what we've seen is, in essence, the spigot open because of policy. And that's not really unexpected. And that's really not unexpected because that happens with almost every administration. There's always a change. It ebbs and flows based on policy. Smugglers are really good at adapting to that. They adapt to those changes much faster than the government does. He added that migrants feel welcomed under the Biden administration, where they did not in the past 4 years. It's a sense that they're not going to get expelled. They're not going to get sent back or told to wait in Mexico. So, Dennis, you make a really great point, and I do appreciate that call. We'll be talking more about that if people are interested. It is a crisis at the border. Biden doesn't want to talk about it. And according to his DHS secretary, it's loving parents who are sending their 9-year-olds to cross the border illegally. Let's play that cut, Jared. This is outrageous. Cut 19.
We are not apprehending a 9-year-old child who's come alone, who's traversed Mexico, whose parents, whose loving parents had sent that child alone. We're not expelling that 9-year-old child.
This is our woke society that he has to correct himself and say loving parents who sent their child alone to cross the border of another country. That's what he has to say.
The mamas and the babies.
It's absolutely outrageous. And by the way, these were the stories I was referring to earlier. They got lost in my stack of stuff. This is Washington Post. CNN host Chris Cuomo issues pitiful disclosure about Andrew Cuomo. That's harsh for the Washington Post. Vanity Fair says, oh, so now Chris Cuomo can't cover his brother for CNN? Uh-oh, the walls are closing in. Not good for Chris Cuomo. And you know what's amazing? Throughout all of this hypocrisy and this massive conflict of interest, his coworker, Brian Stelter, who's got a real, he's on the beat as far as media and all this kind of stuff goes. He's a reliable source, if anything.
Looking like a gender-neutral potato head.
Brian Stelter, he's not talking about Chris and Fredo. You know what he's talking about? Fox News, all the time, 24/7 Fox News. The guy, find someone, you know, people always say like, oh, find someone who loves you like I love nachos or whatever. You got to find somebody who loves you like Brian Stelter loves watching Fox News. Because that is, it's his passion in life. It is his one true obsession.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
And now he's obsessed with the fact that Fox hired Kayleigh McEnany because she's from the Trump administration. I'll go through a list of people from the Obama administration, and you can figure it out for yourself that he's being a hypocrite. But there's people who aren't even, forget Obama, there's people who are outrageous who were hired by CNN. And Kayleigh McEnany is the least of anyone's problems as far as that goes. But according to Brian Stelter, it's a big conflict of interest. We'll be talking about that and more. 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to. And we'll be keeping our eye on King Cuomo as he fights with the press. Eden Pure's famous BOGO offer is back for this week only. For the first time in history, they are offering the Gen 40 heater BOGO just to my listeners. That's right. Buy one, get one free. For how cold it still is at night, you're going to want to take advantage of this offer now. It really is freezing. I mean, normally I go from the office to my house, so I'm not outside a lot, but it's the kind of cold where you don't shake it. You know what I mean? Like you get inside, you're still cold. So you need the heater because it warms you up and you can put it as close to you as you want. You don't have to crank the heat, but it's that really good warm that you don't have to spend a ton of money on. It's an incredible savings. Gas and oil prices have already skyrocketed. Robert from the Cape says the Gen 40 heater performs like no other heater I've ever used. I totally agree, Robert. The Eden Pure Gen 40 makes you feel warmer than your furnace. And like I said, you will get your money back in days. It will pay for itself. But with this deal, you want to go to EdenPure.com, put in code word GRACEBOGO. That's EdenPure.com. Use code word GRACEBOGO. This is a one-day sale, so act today. EdenPure.com. Don't forget to use code word GRACEBOGO. We will be back on the other side with more of your calls and more sound. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We got a lot to get to here, so let's do the poll question first. Today's poll question is brought to you by Genesis 950. Use Genesis 950 for all your cleaning needs. Use code word GRACE to save $10 and get free shipping. Go to Genesis950.com. Genesis 950, a lot cheaper than replacing your carpets. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Joe Biden hold a solo press conference in March?
No, 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 no. Based off last night, which, by the way, we have to finish that off and play some more of this sound, but I'm going to say no.
No, holding strong at 98%.
And I have to ask this, because there's a lot of talk about Dr. Seuss. Is President Biden going to disavow Dr. Seuss? Is he going to, what was the other word they used to say to Trump? Denounce. Is he going to denounce Dr. Seuss? Because personally, I don't feel right about it until he says something. His silence to me speaks volumes. It's not enough to just not like Dr. Seuss. You have to be anti-Dr. Seuss in my book. Otherwise, you're part of the problem. So I'm waiting on that. But what he is talking about is reopening schools. Let's play cut four. This is Joe Biden.
And today, to add one more tool to school reopening, a vaccinated workforce. Let me be clear. We can reopen schools if the right steps are taken, even before employees are vaccinated.
Actually, if you look at states like Florida, you can reopen schools whenever. You could have reopened them a few months ago. Oh, but I forgot. We can't look at Florida. They're evil there. This is Let's Play Cut 5.
We want every educator, school staff member, child care worker to receive at least one shot by the end of the month of March.
All right. So now he's setting up a little bit more ambitious goals here, because you'll remember that his goals about a week ago were, we're going to try to get kids in school one day a week in September. And that was supposed to be full opening, was kids in school one day a week. So I think they're getting the message that people have had enough. And I think they understand that when states are just deciding to do this without them, that they have to try to appear as if they're not wrong on all of these things. It will be interesting to see how that works out. But I want to play this guy. I think his name is Ofit. He was on CNN, and this just shows you the complete insanity of these people. Now they're suggesting we wear masks every winter from here on out. This is cut 7.
Strains have been circulating in places like Australia or South America, which sort of predicts what strains are likely to come into our country. There's been so little flu in those two areas. I think it's going to be hard for us to try and figure out what flu strains to pick. But you're right. If we mask and social distance every winter, we will see a dramatic reduction in flu, which usually causes hundreds of thousands of hospitalizations and tens of thousands of deaths. I wonder whether that will be the lesson from this.
You know, if we didn't ever get in cars again for the rest of our lives, there would be no more car accidents. Did you know that, Jared?
I didn't, but thank you for telling me.
And I just don't understand why we haven't done that sooner. If we all put bubbles around ourselves, we probably would never stub our toes again.
Well, it's like countries where they don't allow guns have the lowest gun violence.
No, exactly. And that they think this is a serious conversation, that they think that, you know, regular Americans are watching their programs and going, oh yeah, no, they get it. It's absolutely insane. And then you read these stories, and I am going to go back here to the Dr. Seuss thing for a little bit, because it gets even crazier. Now Universal Orlando is evaluating experiences in the Dr. Seuss themed area. And Vice President Kamala Harris is getting backlash because she tweeted praising Dr. Seuss in 2017.
Impeach.
Impeach. And then you look at like Amazon, okay? So while all this is happening, Dr. Seuss is being canceled. You know what Amazon did yesterday? They stopped streaming the Clarence Thomas documentary. And again, Cardi B's song WAP. Huge hit. Nobody had a problem with it. Number one song in America. But documentaries about Clarence Thomas or books like Dr. Seuss are no longer allowed. If I have something wrong, please call in and tell me. 844-500-4242. We'll get to more of that. I'm amazed, though, because remember how Obama was the best gun salesman in America and AOC was Goya's employee of the month? Well, Joe Biden is Dr. Seuss's best book salesman because his books are flying off the charts. We'll be back, guys. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Well, Hollywood got the A-OK from the Democratic Party to start bashing Andrew Cuomo. And they all, as the Babylon Bee pointed, they all went out like robots last night and made the same jokes. And they decided that it's okay. He can be sacrificed. He's a creep, which we all know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy that his image is crumbling down. But it is pretty pathetic how long it took all these people to get on board. To Governor Cuomo's credit, though, his arrogance and his... He never eats any crow. He has no humility, and he's still going out there with the same smug attitude, better than everyone. Santa's very good to him, and he's talking to the press, and Jared has a nice little sound cut for us from today. Let's go ahead, Jared.
I want to address the recent allegations that have been made against me. As you probably know, the Attorney General is doing an independent review, and I will fully cooperate with that review. Now, the lawyers say I shouldn't say anything when you have a pending review until that review is over. I understand that. I'm a lawyer, too. But I want New Yorkers to hear from me directly on this. First, I fully support a woman's right to come forward. And I think it should be encouraged in every way. I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it. I feel awful about it, and frankly, I am embarrassed by it. And that's not easy to say, but that's the truth. But this is what I want you to know, and I want you to know this from me directly. I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never knew at the time that
Hold on,
can we
pause there for a sec? What about Anna Roosh? I mean, I'm not saying that he grabbed her butt or anything, but he definitely had his hands all over her face. That to me is inappropriate. If I'm at a wedding and I spend all night putting my makeup on, getting ready, you know, getting my hair done, and some stranger puts his mitts all over my cheeks, boom, you are touching me, and it is inappropriate, and it is annoying, and it is gross. What about that?
There is literally photographic evidence of you touching people inappropriately.
I'm starting to get the vibe he doesn't subscribe to the New York Post, you know, and it helps. Howie has a subscription. I have a subscription. You get it every day. Boom, right on your doorstep. Watch out for if you have a socialist in the neighborhood like Bernie Sanders, they might try to come swipe it from you. But it's good to have, especially if you're one of the Cuomo brothers, because they're one and two his favorite people to write about. All right, let's keep playing it. This is pretty good audio.
Making anyone feel uncomfortable. I never knew at the time I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. And I certainly never, ever meant to offend anyone or hurt anyone or cause anyone any pain. That is the last thing I would ever want to do. I ask the people of this state to wait for the facts from the Attorney General's report before forming an opinion.
Here's the thing. I think the people of New York have waited long enough. I think they.
How about no?
No, you know what? That's exactly what I was trying to say. How about no, Cuomo? How about no? How about we gave you a million chances? You've screwed up everything, not just the nursing homes, but apparently you're a giggity giggity goo kind of guy. And I just think people have had enough. Your popularity is plunging. Your brother did his best to try to cover this in a beautiful way for you and, you know, make you the most lovable man in America. And you didn't deserve that coverage. And now everything is coming to light. As Janice Dean says, sunlight is the best disinfectant. And it's over for you. And it's fine. We'll wait for the review, Gov. We'll wait for the review. But if they had a picture, if they had this much stuff about Brett Kavanaugh when they went into that trial or those hearings, You think that all the Democrats would be saying, oh, well, you know, let's not judge a book by its cover. They found out he liked beer and they were ready to throw him in jail. It's over for him. But I do want to talk about a few other things here. Oh, and is this some breaking news I'm getting? Oh, someone just brought in a story about, yeah, he does. The picture of him putting his hands on that girl's face does look like the Joker, if you guys are familiar with that. When the Joker grabs Maggie Gyllenhaal's cheeks in the movie. And what it really reminded me of is The Godfather, because that is the grip that Michael has on Fredo. Short of shaking that girl's head a little bit, it was pretty much that scene. But I want to talk about a few other things here. I do want to talk about the confirmation process for a lot of Biden's picks. It is not going well. Did you hear, Jared, about Neera Tanden?
I did.
In honor of Neera Tanden bowing out of her OMB situation, she was going to be the head of the Office of Management and Budget. But alas, the old Twitter sphere came back to bite her. In honor of that, can we get the old sound cut of Senator Kennedy bringing up how many mean tweets she wrote about Bernie Sanders? Because I think it deserves a play. We will find that. But there's more drama here because Neera Tanden decided today to withdraw her name from consideration. So that's one win. And I give Republicans credit. They are not bowing down. They are not taking this lightly. They're not rolling over. But there's someone else that's important, Javier Becerra, because they want the Democrats and Joe Biden, they want him to head the Health and Human Services. He's the nominee. And he's not qualified, number one. But number two, and I'm reading here from Fox News, much to Brian Stelter's chagrin. This is a quote from the Heritage Action for America's Arizona ad. Becerra has zero medical experience unless you count suing Catholic nuns trying to force them to pay for abortions, referencing his role in a case against the Catholic group Little Sisters of the Poor. Remember that? While Becerra did not initiate the lawsuit against Little Sisters of the Poor, the group did become a defendant after it intervened. Heritage Action for America's West Virginia ad calls Becerra's nomination a big test for Joe Manchin, claiming that the HHS PIC wants to ban guns. A third ad points to Becerra's support for socialized medicine and calls him a radical partisan, an activist, not a doctor. I thus far have been very impressed with Republicans because a lot of these Republicans, like Lindsey Graham, they're big on appearing classy to the other side, like rising above. And it's just not the time to confirm these people for the sake of unity because they're radicals. And if you ever read one of Neera Tanden's tweets, you would know that. So let's play this old cut of Senator Kennedy when he was grilling Neera Tanden on some of her old tweets.
I have to tell you, I'm very disturbed about your personal comments about people. And it's not just one or two. I think you deleted about 1,000 tweets. And it wasn't just about Republicans. And I don't mind disagreements in policy. I think that's great. I love the dialectic. But the comments were personal. I mean, you call Senator Sanders everything but an ignorant slut.
I'll never get over that sound cut. It's so good. So we got one win there. Neera Tanden is out. But Becerra still remains to be seen. And it's taking Biden a long time to get these people confirmed. He picked he picked a lot of radical people. And then in other Biden news here, he still has yet to brief top senators on the Syria airstrike. And you know who's fuming about this? Democrats. I know I've said this before, but I knew Joe Biden was going to be a bad president. I didn't want him to be. I never want anyone to fail when they're leading the United States of America. But the writing was on the wall. However, I did not know he'd be this quick. I did not know he'd prove us all right within 35 days. The Biden administration has still not briefed senators directly on last week's airstrike of a facility in Syria, allegedly used by an Iran-allied militia group. Listen to what Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said. He told Politico he attended to get some semblance of justification for the strike from Biden's team. I think that means to say intended. The Connecticut senator, who serves on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, told the outlet that he was not impressed with what he learned. Quote, I still need to be convinced that any president has the authorization required to take a retaliatory strike, especially outside of Iraq. I didn't hear anything today that convinced me there was justification that I'd apply to any administration. I think the most concerning part is he didn't even tell Kamala Harris. Everyone's been telling us for months and months that she's the person who's really going to take over for Joe Biden. He doesn't even give her a heads up. So the Democrats aren't happy. The Republicans aren't happy. Everything's back to normal. You guys wanted normal. All you suburban housewives, you wanted normal. Here we are. We have a cut of Andrew Cuomo that we're going to play now, and I'll take some calls on this. This is unbelievable. 844-500-4242. Go ahead, Jared.
I just wanted to ask you, with all these calls in the last couple of days calling for your resignation from some Democrats, certainly not all Democrats, but some Democrats, is today, since you've been gone for about a week, is this your way of saying I'm certainly not resigning?
Yeah. Dave, look, some politicians will always play politics, right? That's the nature of the beast. I don't think today is a day for politics. I wasn't elected by politicians. I was elected by the people of the state of New York. I'm not going to resign. I work for the people of the state of New York. They elected me, and I'm going to serve the people of the state of New York. And by the way, we have a full plate.
I have to say, this could not have happened to a nicer guy. Out of all of the smug liberals to be brought to their knees, Andrew Cuomo, he's really, really, really proving that he's, and we had a caller talk about this earlier, you know, good versus evil. There's an element of evil to this man. I mean, anyone who can talk like that. And it's amazing because you're going to hear a lot of people getting credit. Like, you're going to hear people giving John Oliver credit, or the late night hosts, or, you know, the Washington Post, for finally being hard on these people and finally being critical. And don't buy into it. It's Ron Kim, a Democrat from New York, a New York assemblyman, who came forward after he got bullied by Andrew Cuomo for not shutting up about the nursing home scandal. It's Janice Dean, who got ridiculed for being the meteorologist from Fox News. And that she doesn't, you know, his spokesperson said something like, she should stick to weather. Those are the people who stood up and spoke out when it was not popular. And thank God they did. Because the vindication that they're getting now is, it's worth its weight in gold. Guys, if you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. The reviews are amazing, as this is one product that actually works. With water, it breaks down the bonds of stains and odors, so they're gone for good. Its antibacterial component removes pet odors from carpets and padding. I love Genesis 950. I don't have any pets, but I do love just to have a very clean kitchen and a very clean bathroom. Those are my two areas that I need spotless. And Genesis 950 is perfect for that. A really, really good benefit here is that 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. That is a lot of product. That's a lot of bang for your buck. Genesis 950 is great in bathrooms, kitchens, and consider Genesis 950 before purchasing new carpets. It's great on carpets. They have great customer service. Order 1 gallon direct at genesis950.com to receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using code GRACE. That's genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis 950, much cheaper than replacing your carpets. I'm buying carpets right now. They are expensive. Don't go down that road. Just get some Genesis 950. We'll be back on the other side. I do want to talk a little bit about Dr. Seuss cancel culture. And the actress from The Mandalorian has an unlikely ally in Hollywood. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. You guys just heard Governor Andrew Cuomo. He said it was unintentional. I feel awful about it. And frankly, I'm embarrassed by it. It's been difficult for me. Well, that's good to know. That it's...
But wait for the investigation and the evidence to come out before you make a judgment.
It's been difficult for him, Jared. And you know what I do have to say is there's this line by Democrats where they say, I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable. It reminds me of, you know, that friend who can't apologize. So they say, I'm sorry if you feel that way. But they like to say, I'm sorry if I made anyone uncomfortable. And I just have to say that that is the first sign that you are guilty as charged. And of course, you know, in this country, we wait, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And we will investigate. And Letitia James will investigate this. But if you didn't do anything, you wouldn't say anything like that. Because it's a dead, in my opinion, it's a dead giveaway. Because you know who would never say anything like that? Donald Trump. He's had people accuse him of things, but he never said, I'm sorry if I made anyone uncomfortable. Because that is a sign that you know you did something wrong. And I remember, I think it was Ryan Seacrest. He was accused of something by his hairdresser. It was during the Me Too thing, and it came out that she said he made her uncomfortable or something like that. And Ryan Seacrest... Do I know him? No, I do not. But do I believe he is a complete professional who has like 6,000 jobs and works really hard? Yes, I do. He came out and he flat out was like, nope, no truth to that whatsoever. Done. And it never really got any legs because he wouldn't give an inch. But when you come out and you say, I'm sorry if I made anyone uncomfortable, you know that you did much more than that. And then to say, I never touched anyone, like that's his line, is he never touched anyone. That doesn't work either because you did touch someone. You touched that girl's face. And I just think that when Andrew Cuomo is talking about Andrew Cuomo, we have to consider the source. That's all I'm going to say about that, is consider the source. Now, as we move on here, I will be taking more calls in the next hour. I do want to talk a little bit about cancel culture because Dr. Seuss is on the chopping block. You guys know that, but you might not know that today on Amazon, the bestsellers are as follows. The Cat in the Hat is number one. Green Eggs and Ham is number two. Dr. Seuss's Beginner's Book Collection is number three. Oh, the Places You'll Go is number four. One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish is number five. Fox in the Socks, number six. The Sneetches and Other Stories, number seven. And What Pet Should I Get is number eight. It's a good day to be a Dr. Seuss fan. These books are flying like hotcakes. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.